Welcome to episode 13 of Dode's Song. This review, an intense, closely examination of the 89th Mizmor, so that we might come to know Yahweh, His Son, our Messiah, the returning King, indeed our Savior, better than ever before. This is the most magnificent song ever sung. The lyrics were actually written by God, Yahweh, on behalf of His favorite person, His beloved, His chosen one. The one man, He says, He is my Son, I am His Father. The one man that Yahweh says, I anointed him with my oil. The one man that Yahweh calls out by name to say, I have made all of these promises to Dode and to no one else. So, this is the story of the Zeruah, which is the sacrificial lamb, the chosen one of God, the most set apart one, the very man that through whom Yahweh made the covenant's benefits possible, the one who Yahweh worked through and with to fulfill the first three Moed Mikre, Pesach, Matzah, and Makkodim in 33 CE, which is the single most important discovery in human history because it has the greatest beneficial implications. So as we now move into the 13th episode of Dode's Song, this review of the 89th Mizmor, we are reminded that for many, and for most of us, there is a battle for hearts and souls, and it is raging throughout the world. It's a struggle between right and wrong. The loudest voices are of those who claim that they worship religious gods, while the chorus of those who stand with Yahweh and alongside our Messiah, the Son of God, the former and returning King Dode, which means beloved and is misrepresented as David, currently are faint among these billions, although that is changing. We are coming into your home. We are speaking boldly about him. Lights, camera, action. We are ready for you to know the truth. We are making it possible for you, no matter where you find yourself, to be able to witness the truth. The very truth that will provide eternal life, perfection, adoption into God's family, enrichment and empowerment, enlightenment and emancipation, all gifts of Almighty God in His collaboration with His Son. So the 89th Mizmor continues with these words. What's worse, Yahweh asks, and adding to the resentment, well, previously God made it very clear that He is exceedingly frustrated with humankind, particularly His people, for denying their Messiah, Dode, for the elaborate work that people have done to pile their trash right on top of the most important truth in human history, that the Messiah and Son of God is Dode David. He's been here twice before. He will return. And that by fulfilling Pesach, Matzah, and Makkodim, the covenant was enabled. It was established. Life became eternal. Our souls were perfected. We are adopted into Yahweh's family. We're enriched and empowered by Him, all of which is made possible by this fulfillment of Pesach, Matzah, and Makkodim. And yet humankind has universally denied it. The most popular religion in the world, Christianity, foisted a crude counterfeit of Dode, a completely false mythical misnomer on the world, proposing that Iesu Christu, now known as Jesus Christ, did anything when he never existed. He is nothing but a fake of who Dode really is. And by piling the world's most popular religion's trash right on top of the truth, so many people have missed it. In fact, until I began these programs to explain this to you, no one knew it. The greatest discovery in human history was right out in the open, but piled beneath mountains of religious rubbish. And then Judaism, making matters so much worse, rather than simply proclaiming the lyrics of this song, rather than doing that, they foisted another lie, another false messiah, to counter the Christian false messiah, and proposed Bar Kokhba, the son of the star, which is where, Israel, you get your Star of David. David didn't have a star, but Bar Kokhba is known as, the name means, son of a star. And that led to the Roman destruction, their Hadrian renaming Yehuda as Philistina. It led to the diaspora, to the torturous death of hundreds of thousands of precious Jewish lives, and ultimately to a Europe that morphed from Imperial Rome to the Roman Catholic Church that enabled the Holocaust. This is what the lie that is the essence of Judaism cost God's people. And then those very same rabbis that, rather than pointing out the truth and quoting from the 89th Mizmor, the 89th Psalm, Dode's Psalm, to disprove everything that Paul and Peter had said in their composition of this Christian New Testament, and to be certain that Christianity wouldn't even survive its first decade, eliminating all the subjugation and persecution of the Jewish people that resulted from it, rather than simply obliterating it by waging a war of words, wielding words wisely, because they had done what I have done and read what the Mizmor, these Psalms say, what the prophets wrote, what the Torah actually reveals. Rather than doing that to disprove Christianity, and rather than fighting a lie with a lie of their own and establishing Judaism, you know what the idiot, repulsive rabbis did to Israel that is haunting you now? They created Islam. Yeah, that's correct. They created Islam. Without rabbis selling Talmud stories to Muhammad, the Quran doesn't exist. If you want to know why Muslims pretend that Moses and Abraham and Adam and David and Solomon and Jesus was a Muslim, it's because the rabbis sold these stories to them for a buck. And then once Muhammad started claiming that the stories, rather than coming from the rabbis, were inspired by his wannabe God, and when Muhammad stopped paying for them, they started mocking him. Just like rabbis mock anyone who exposes them for their farce today. And by these ugly bearded wonders, mocking Muhammad, a psychopath, for not paying his bills, he turned on them. And he did what psychopaths do when threatened. He cut off all their heads. Then, to teach them a lesson, he raped their women. He enslaved their children. He perpetrated genocide against Jews in Arabia because of what the rabbis had done. And he thereby made Islam not only anti-Semitic, not only a death cult, but in particular, a religion where there's bonus points afforded for killing Jews. All because of what the rabbis had done. And even Christianity, it's created by a rabbi. The first person in writing to use that term historically is Shaul, who Christians know as Paul. He claimed to have been a great rabbi. This is what you've done to yourself. So, excuse the interruption. This is what God was saying. I just wanted to give you a little context. What's worse? And adding to the resentment, you are turned around again, having assaulted, besieged, bound up, and constrained the rocky crag of his battle for Chorib, such that you do not stand with him or support him in this conflict. Mizmor, lyrics to be sung, 89:43. Ladies and gentlemen, my friends, those of you who invited me into your lives, into your homes to hear this message, there is more to Yahweh's story and to his collaboration with Dawud than the things that they said together 3,000 years ago. And that is because you didn't get it. That is because you paid no attention to it. And so now there's a rocky crag, a sharp crag, who is here to cut through all of the clutter, here to toss away all of the religious rubbish that has been piled on top of the truth, to share with you the unvarnished reality of who the Messiah really is, who the Son of God is, who your Savior is, who came to fulfill Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim, who is returning to fulfill Kippurim and to be the king of Sukkah. What did your Moed Mikre mean? What role did Father and Son play in them? There is a sharp crag that is coming to you now and revealing all of this to you before it is too late. And so after diminishing the relevance of and defrauding and denuding everything that Dawud represents, now Israel, you're showing your resentment to, and you are turned around again because you're assaulting, besieging, and trying to constrain the rocky crag. I'm sure that many of you have heard me introduce my name as Yahweh has requested in the Yahweh blog. My name is Craig. You know what Craig is based upon? It's a Celtic name. It means crag. And I am both a rocky, hard as nails, tough as they can be, and sharper than the average fellow. Crag. As the crag, I am mentioned in many prophecies, primarily though known as Yada, one who knows, the Choder, the one who has growing out of the primary branch, who is Dawud, the one who is giving the fallen stump and the neglected roots new life as a sucker, the Choder, the Nakri, the observant foreigner, the Kol, the voice of Yahweh, the Bashar, the herald of Dawud, the final of the three Zeroah, one cultivating the seeds of the harvest so that they grow and are fruitful and productive. The man from Edom, the Adam HaParah that is sacrificed in the end. I am all these things. There are hundreds upon hundreds of prophecies regarding them. And Yisrael, you're just now beginning to listen. I've been doing this for 23 years. I have all of these books you can see behind me. It's 35 of them that I have written and rewritten, providing the translations themselves, the insights, the commentary, the explanations of the various terms that Yahweh chose to use. And I've done so for 23 years, making them all available to you free at yadayah.com. And now I'm coming into your homes as Yahweh requested, taking the books that I have written and manifesting them through these words and these insights so that you come to know who Yahweh is. And yet so many of God's people, Yehudim, Israelites, their first response is, oh, don't you dare do that on the Sabbath. We have do nothing day, you know. Well, maybe you ought to look and figure out that the Shabbat is a verb and it's actionable and that Yahweh does his best work on the Shabbat. Even Dawud, his beloved son, did his best work on the Shabbat of Matzah in 33 CE, 4000 Yah, when he did the ultimate work in carrying our guilt and depositing it into Sheol, never to be seen again. Oh, you can't speak in that, we don't even want to call it a name, Yod-Heh, Wah-Heh, oh, you have no idea what it means. You cannot use that. Jews have literally written God's presence out of their lives. They've erased his name. And here, part of my mission is to reintroduce you to that name. And to Judaism, they're so appalled by what Christianity has done to them. They have made a religion out of God is incorporeal, therefore he can't have a son. God begs to differ. He says, Dod is my son, I am his father. Who do you think is telling you the truth, the rabbis or God? There, in rabbinic Judaism, the big thing is to be messianic now and await the return of an unnamed Messiah. God damn it, wake up. Your Messiah is Dod. Your God is Yahweh. They both told you so over and over again without equivocation. You know, in rabbinic Judaism, there is no salvation. There's no way to enter heaven, and there is no hell. No Shamaim, no Sheol. Well, God begs to differ. And the way to earn the latter of these things, the eternal separation from God, is to continue to be religious, particularly practicing Judaism, but also Christianity and Islam. And the way to end up spending eternity with Yahweh is to come to accept his name, to come to accept the role that Dod as the Mashiach played when he fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Makkorah. Understand what the seven Moed Mikre mean. You don't even celebrate matzah if you're Jewish. You got no idea what it even means. You think that matzah is an ingredient that is part of the celebration of Passover. You make Passover a seven-day feast. That's not what Yahweh says. Matzah is 7 days, and matzah is part of Pesach. In fact, Passover without matzah is counterproductive. You become immortal and still guilty and therefore eternally separated from God. The only way you can be immortal and guilty and therefore separated from God is to spend your eternity in Sheol. That's a really stupid idea, and yet it lies at the heart not only of Judaism, but of Christianity. Can't speak of Islam. It's too dumb to understand any of this kind of stuff. Way beyond them. But it's even way beyond most Jews, and you're the smartest people in the world, and yet you don't get it. This has been presented for you to understand for 3,000 years, and yet not one of you in 3,000 years understood any of this that I'm sharing with you. So what's worse? Adding to the resentment, you are turned around again, having assaulted, besieged, bound up, and constrained the rocky crag, the shore, having been adverse to this stone, and of his battle for Choreb, his fight with the sword and the chisel for the fire of Yah, the revelation of his Torah. Choreb was where the actual Torah, not that piece of trash known as the Talmud, which Maimonides foisted this great lie on the Jewish people that his musings and rantings was a Torah. Bull. The Torah is the Torah. It was written by Moshe, full stop. The rabbinical nonsense that they claim where they say they're Torah observant is trash. Most of it comes from Babylon. It's rabbinical arguments. Haredim that claim we need, exemption from the military because we're busy saving Israel by being Torah observant and studying the Torah. Bull! They're wallowing in rabbinical rubbish. It's important for you to understand the truth, know what these terms mean. They even call it law, Jewish law. Torah doesn't mean law. It's teaching, guidance, direction, and instruction. It says if they speak the language and don't understand what any word means. The battle for Choreb is to bring the Torah back as to be the guiding light of the Jewish people. Which means first and foremost, you must understand who inspired the Torah. It wasn't Moshe. It was Yahweh. The God whose name you won't say. The God whose name you erased. And yet his name exists in the center of your lives because he was the one who named you. Ya'ud. It's a combination of Yahweh's name and Dod's name. It means beloved of Yah. And he won't even admit it. You won't acknowledge it. You won't capitalize upon it. And you even fight against this rocky crowd who is trying to bring you back to Chorab. It says such that you do not stand with him or support him. This is your last call, Israel. This is the last opportunity for the Jewish people. I am the voice that is calling you out from the midst of your political and religious delusions before it is too late. I am the voice of the one who will lay down his life as the Adam of Perah to give Jews, Yehudim, one last chance to hear from Yahweh again. The last time that he spoke to you, you told him to go away and shut up. You never wanted to see him or hear from him again. And now he is speaking to you through me, telling you that you have one last opportunity to get your act together, to walk away from religious and political influences, to accept his name, to accept his son, our Messiah and Savior, to attend his Moed Mikre as they were intended, and to become part of his covenant family. And at this point, if you want to make the next harvest, which is Shavuot, you have 16 months to get your act together. And from that point, we begin the seven-year time of Jacob's trouble on May 22nd, 2026. It concludes on Teruah, which is a final gleaning of Yisraelites and Yehudim in year 6000 Yah, with that gleaning taking place on September 23rd, a Friday evening, the beginning of a Shabbat in 2033. The following day is when the Adam of Perah will be sacrificed for the mortal remnant of Yisrael that survived the gauntlet of the time of Israel's troubles, but who were left behind, were not prepared for the Teruah harvest. And that is when Yahweh will ignite this marvelous fire and fountains of water from the Temple Mount that will arise beneath the bludgeoned body that I will have offered is the final sacrifice to purge Israel of her guilt so that you can enter the presence of Yahweh 10 days later on the Day of Reconciliations when Dod as the Messiah returns with God, whose name is Yahweh. But in this conflict, God is saying, you don't support or currently stand with the one who is offering this gift to you. The end of it, this last statement in this conflict, Baha Melchama, and this fight between opposing parties is from Lacham to engage in a battle over yeasted bread. And 4QPS from the Dead Sea Scroll says four battles. So it's a little different in interpretations here between the Masoretic text and the Dead Sea Scrolls. There is a plethora of tantalizing insights, I think, in this statement that I want to share with you, beginning with the realization that Af's primary connotation is to engender resentment and wrath. Those who continue to turn against Dod, those who continue to erase Yahweh's presence from their lives, those even who are unwilling to listen to his voice, God's voice at this time, that rocky crag, will endure the sting of judgment. Also interesting, while T-S-U-W-R, sure, is translated as the edge in the Jewish Publication Society's Holy Scriptures, according to the Masoretic text, it was scribed here as a verb. Did you know that? There was no definite article in the text, and edge is not among Suhr's meanings when presented as a noun. What were they trying to hide from you? Had it been written as a noun, our options would have been rocky crag, sharp flint, or stone. In the infinitive, sure is not only active, but it is also intensified by the actual and ongoing action of laying siege, enclosing, binding, and confining in a hostile and harassing fashion, because that is the implication of the call infinitive and its influence on the verb. This makes perfect sense because the perpetrators in gendering Dode's wrath and Yahweh's animosity continue to be the Jewish religious leaders who have sought to constrain the Savior by assaulting his achievements, depriving Yehudim of a relationship with God. Further, if we are to read rocky crag or stone into this depiction, it was upon this sharp rocky edifice that Yahweh first revealed his fiery light to Moshe and then to the children of Israel from a mount upon Mount Chorib, where he would also reveal his Torah from this very same place. Moreover, it is my contention that Dode's song is the cornerstone, the sure of the covenant home, and that it was revealed in the Yobel year of 3000 Yah, 968 BCE, 4 years into Solomon's reign, as the cornerstone was laid on the home for Yahweh's name. This Mizmor is that cornerstone. The Hebrew name for mountain upon which Yahweh introduced himself to Moshe and then revealed the Torah is Torah. Spelled the same way in the text, it also serves as the Hebrew word for dry and desolate, battle and conflict, sword and chisel. And while we can choose any definition that works within the context, we are prudent to include each that fits so as not to deprive the listener of the full intent of what God said. In this case, I see Dode standing between the two mountains of God, Chorib and Moriah, bringing the Torah to the heart of the land and fulfilling it in the city of Dode, Jerusalem. This is not only evident by the king's marvelous dissertation on the Torah, which is the basis of the 119th Mizmor, where he devoted 8 stanzas to each of the 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, going through them in alphabetical order to explain to us how we should go about observing Yahweh's guidance. But it's also symbolic of Dode's service as the Pesach Gael. So there is a battle being waged for the souls of humankind. The religious are on one side and father and son are on the other. You have religion or relationship. And while Judaism and Christianity have written Yahweh and Dode, Chorib and Moriah, the Torah and Mikre out of their story, father and son are fighting to bring them all back to Yisrael's attention, which is the sharp crag's purpose at this time. There has been a war of words that has been fought for the past 3,000 years. I could summarize it now as to Dode or not to Dode. That is the question. It is the ultimate query because where we stand with Dode characterizes where we stand with God. And this war has often erupted in bloody conflict. The two Assyrian and Babylonian conquests, the two Roman wars against the tiny province of Yehudah, Judea, the abuse Jews have suffered under the Roman Catholics during the Crusades and under the Ottomans by the whole of Europe, by the Nazis and the Soviets, and today by Islamic jihadists and progressives in league with them, serve as proof that the word world has turned against and is upside down and is a furor against Daoud and his people. And it's going to get far worse before it gets better. We're just 16 months from entering the time of Jacob's troubles. You want to understand that timing. It's going to occur on Shavuot, in year 5993, September 22nd, Shabbat of 2026. That is 7 years prior to Yahweh's return with Daoud. And that is the beginning of the time of Yisra'el's troubles. It's going to start with the imposition of the two-state dissolution. And now we know that it will be Donald Trump, who is owned and operated by Saudi Arabia, along with his Middle East emissary, who is owned and operated by the Qataris, collectively with Saudi Arabia and Qatar, providing $2.6 billion that we are aware of that will be paid back in Jewish lives and the land of Israel. And since Israel will not be defensible once this occurs, the next jihadi invasion of Israel will be between 100 and 1,000 times worse than what occurred on 10/7/23. And it will likely transpire very close to a year within the timing of the sacrifice of the heart and soul of Israel to the Saudi Arabian Muslims. And it will bring the entire world into conflict. Billions are going to die and millions of Jews. It's going to be the worst time the world has ever experienced, according to the prophet Yoel. So with the exception of those who have come to know Yahweh and his beloved son, many through these books, most through these books at this point, this remains true of almost everyone else. You have truncated, causing a succession of all of the work, Shabbat. You have made this like a Sabbath for doing nothing. Piffle, perfect. Removing and taking away from his purifying brilliance and means to restore, along with his glorious presence to Harhu, his majesty and ability to renew, his clear and illuminating approach, and his position of honor, dignity, and power, his throne, his cachet, you have hurled to the ground. There is no one in Israel that is expecting Daoud to sit on the throne that Yahweh has made for him. And yet it is all the way through the Torah and prophets that the throne and the seat of honor that Yahweh has established belongs to Daoud, David, God's son, our Messiah, God's chosen one. And yet in rabbinical Judaism, it has been dishonored and hurled to the ground. Christianity built a religious mythology on confiscating Daoud's throne and giving it to a crude counterfeit now known as Jesus Christ. And Jews were essential to both religions. It is repulsive, and God's not the least bit pleased. And you need to understand, he knows exactly what you have done, and he knew you were going to do it 3,000 years ago. That's why, with this message, I can't save the overtly political or the overtly religious. The Haredim will never listen to this, and I wouldn't even want them to. It'd be a waste of time. Their religious mythology is such they would never be able to penetrate their thick skulls, their horrid attitudes towards God, their preference for rabbis over the Almighty. And as a result, all we can do is talk to the 40%, maybe 50% of Yisraelites between those two extremes, between the the progressives that have forgotten how to think, who have forfeited all morality, who become total and complete hypocrites, and the Haredim, who are nothing but parasites. The rest of you, Israel, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying is true. And the path home begins by accepting Yahweh's name, by embracing his son, by accepting the position of honor and the dignity that Dod has in your life, that Yahweh has afforded him. Clearly, God is annoyed. He's disgusted that his beloved son, his anointed Messiah, the Ra'ah shepherd that he established the covenant, brought it into existence through, the Zeruah, the sacrificial lamb who opened heaven's door, has been so universally discounted by religious Jews. They have done to Dod David what they have done to his Shabbat, reducing both to from a celebration of the covenant relationship to do nothing. And in this case, by either failing to read the words that Yahweh inspired in this Dod song, the 89th Mizmor, or failing to act upon them, religious Jews brought untold misery on God's people. It's their fault. If you look and recognize the plight that you're in and that you've been in this plight for century upon century, maybe it's time that you say, whoa, what we're doing isn't working. The rabbis have made life more miserable for us. Our politicians have made life more miserable for you. You know, the whole world is turned against us. We're here. We've been the victims. We're doing the right thing, defending ourselves, and yet the world is enraged by us. There's no way to win. So, you want the solution? Yeah, I was offering it to you on a silver platter. And on that platter is the throne, the seat of honor of his chosen one, your Messiah and king, my king, Dod David. That's the purpose of the lyrics that Yahweh scribed in the 89th Psalm. The failure of rabbis to recognize and capitalize upon what Dod represents and has accomplished is the fulcrum upon which the Jewish people have descended when they could have and should have ascended. They were given the opportunity to restore their relationship with Yahweh and to come clean, simply accepting Dod's fulfillment of Chag Matzah. They don't even know what it means. They don't even celebrate it, much less capitalize on the fact that on this day, Dod's nefesh was burdened with the guilt of every covenant member, where it was carried then into Sheol to deposit there, never to be seen again, making us perfect in God's eyes. They don't even know what it means. They don't even know that the yeast that is taken out of the bread to make it matzah represents religious and political revolt against God, and that it is on matzah that our souls are unyeasted, where the fungus of these terrible corruptive influences, religion and politics, is, are removed from us. We are welcome back into the covenant by embracing Dod's glorious status as the chosen Messiah and the Lamb. But the rabbis have not only forgone all of this, but they also tossed it away, hurling Dod's dignity to the ground. When rabbis talk of Dod, they vomit all over themselves. They don't like him. They're envious of him. They talk about all the things they don't like about him. They never celebrate his life. And if you're so stupid, you think that, oh, yes, they do. The symbol of religious Judaism is a star of David. Then you've been played for a fool. David didn't have a star. That star is religious. It comes from Kabbalah. It comes from even Christianity, as Christians oppressed and subjugated Jews. You're wearing the very symbol of the shame that the religion of Christianity and then the Nazis perpetrated against you. Doe does not have a star. Bar Kokhba does, but he was the false messiah of the founder of rabbinic Judaism. You have hurled Doe's dignity to the ground. There isn't one in a million Yehudim, even at this moment with me coming into your homes, that recognizes that Doe was the Messiah, the Son of God, his chosen one, the one through whom the covenant was enabled, the one who fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Bukkotim in his second life in 33 CE, 4000 Yah, and the one who is returning as King of Kings on Yom Kippurim, where he will anoint the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant to reconcile the relationship between all Yisrael and Yehudim and Yahweh, so that we can camp out with God for 1,000 years here on earth on Sukkah before eternity begins. Dod was chosen by Yahweh, and he was anointed by his spirit at 8 years old. Eight is the Hebrew number for eternity. And from what we have discovered, his best writing and his most profound spiritual insights were distilled within these songs when his mind was young and receptive and when he was fraught with the fewest distractions. Over time, the relentless burden of being responsible for miserable ingrates grew wearisome, as it did for Moshe. This is one of the things I want to share with you that I think is stunningly important. There are three Zeruah. Moshe was the first of them. Yisrael, you treated him like crap. When he first intervened on your behalf to save you from the cruel taskmasters of Mitzrayim, the crucibles of human oppression known as Egypt today, rather than be grateful that this man risked his life and intervened as you were being beaten to death, you besmirched him. You threatened him. You tossed him away. And that's why when Yahweh asked him to engage with him to liberate the children of Yisrael from slavery in Mitzrayim, he said, no, you got the wrong guy. I don't want to do that. You treated him like trash. You tossed his reputation to the ground. Well, Yahweh has a compelling nature. I remember when he asked me to engage in this, my first reaction was very similar. Nah, come on, you got the wrong guy. Just as Yahweh convinced Moshe that it would be okay to do this, he did the same with me. But then from right at that point on, every time you turn around, the children of Yisrael are irascible. You're pig-headed. You're the opposite of appreciative. You didn't even get to the Gulf of Aqaba, to Nuweiba Beach, where you had now been freed by the Egyptians based upon Yahweh's miraculous intervention, and you'd been given gifts and party gifts, and for the first time in 80 years, you're free. Free at last. And what did you do? You turned on Moshe and said, would you bring us out in the desert to die? We want to go back. Can you imagine the agony that you caused and the frustration both for Moshe? He said, here we go again. I told you this was impossible, God. And for God himself that was doing this for you. Then you get across the other side. You're at the base of Mount Chorib again. Moshe goes up the mountain to converse with Yahweh and to bring down the Torah instructions and, of course, the first set of tablets that were etched with God's instructions. And you got his brother orchestrating a group of people that are making a godforsaken religious idol, a golden calf in the image of the Egyptians, the Apis, the bull cult that was so popular among the pharaohs. My God, what was wrong with you? And then if you didn't learn your lesson from that, Yahweh says, listen, I'm going to do you a favor, Moshe. I'm going to do the people of Israel a favor. I'm going to come off this mountain and I'm going to introduce myself to the entirety of the children of Israel. And I'm going to explain that you're my guy. I have chosen to speak through you. So they'll know you are my chosen voice. And so what did he do? He told them, you know, get themselves cleaned up and prettied up for this meeting. I don't want to, you know, speak to a bunch of stinky, filthy guys. I want them to understand how they really do need to clean up their act to be in my presence. It's something we will repeat here 8.5 years from now with the sacrifice of the Adam of Perah. But Yahweh comes down. He says, yep, Moshe is my guy. This is the first of the three Zero, if you're wondering. And God specifically says, I am speaking through him. That's what I'm doing here. And you know what the children of Israel said? We don't want to see you again. We don't want to hear from you again. Go away. Shut up. Pretty harsh, huh? Imagine being God doing this for your people and hearing that from them. And from there, it gets worse. I mean, you had this horrible experience with Miriam and Aaron then saying, oh, you know, surely Moshe is not the only one that speaks for God. We speak for him too. No, you don't. Yahweh chooses those through whom he's going to speak. Moshe was one of them. Dod was one of them. I am one of them. And if you think that you also can speak for God, you are mistaken. And so what did he do? He said, hey, that's great. The more voices, the better. We'll all have a big kumbaya party. We'll do a barbecue, maybe have some cheeseburgers. And that's just what he served when he met with Abraham and Sarah, which is kind of funny because, of course, in rabbinic Judaism, you can't mix the two, dairy and meat. So anyway, rather than saying, hey, that's great, and the more voices, the better, God said, you repulse me. I want you to shut up. I'm sending you outside of the community. I am revealing for all to see that you are plagued, that you're disgusting and diseased. And the next time we hear of Miriam, it's a long discussion of divorce. And then God reminds us, just as Miriam was plagued. Now, Aaron, even during that time, said, okay, I was stupid. It really, really, I mean, if I didn't even use that word, I was really stupid. What a dumb idea to claim that we get to choose who God speaks through and that he can also speak through us when it's obvious that he chose Moshe. And because he was a full confession right there, saying, I admit it, I was wrong, it won't happen again. Please, cleanse me of this. Yahweh did. Aaron remained part of the community, even as wrong as he was so many times. And it gets even worse. The waters of Meribah might be based on the same word that we get from, I get the name Miriam, contentious and bitterness. It goes on and on. No matter where we turn, the children of Israel turned on Moshe and Yahweh. It got so bad with Dod, the second of the three, Zeruah, his own son led an insurrection against him. On and on it goes. In fact, the group that surrounded Shaul, Saul, sought to kill Dod, hunted him down. He got so bad at one point, Dod made a bunch of blunders. But one of the blunders he made is he said, listen, I can't even hang out with my own people. I'm going to go out and hang for a while with the Philistines. I mean, bad idea. But, you know, Dod's flawed like the rest of us. Made many, 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 many wonderful decisions. That was not one of them, however. And it's the same thing with all of us. We're imperfect implements, and that's why Yahweh likes to work through us, because his magnificence can be shown through someone who is flawed. He loves to use dirty and dented implements to convey his message and purpose. But you need to know that over time, the burdens of being responsible for miserable ingrates grows wearisome. After a while, Adod stopped writing Mizmor. Now he came back to fulfill Pesach, Matzah, and Bukkotim. He honored his promise. He's going to return as King of Kings. But when he returns, everyone who will be there will respect Adod, because we wouldn't be there had he not fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Bukkotim. He will have earned our eternal devotion for having done so in respect. I have done this now for 23 years. I have faced numerous insurrections along the way. I've had lots of people that I have poured my life into who have betrayed me. I know exactly what it's like. I've witnessed, as Moshe did and Dode did, fractured family. We all have to appreciate the fallen state of man, the betrayal of man, to have an understanding of what God has endured all of these years, and then overcome it to prevail, to not only understand who God is and what he's offering and how he's not trying to fix the human family. He's not, you got a problem with your spouse, you got a problem with your parents, you got a problem with your kids, you got a problem with your health. That isn't God's business. God's business is to offer you the alternative, which is the perfect family with him. It's called the covenant. We continue in the text of the 89th Psalm. You have cut short so as to deprive yourselves of what is required to reap the benefits of the harvest, Katsir. The days when his robust presence was concealed as a young man, you have covered over him shamefully by diminishing his status. Take a moment and consider the implications, Shelah. Mizmor, lyrics to sing, Psalm 89:45. I've said before, and I will say it again, the 89th Mizmor is like taking a shower under a fire hose. It is like putting a cup into the largest lake on earth and having a drink of water and recognizing how much more is there. It is like a concert where every word is a crescendo. This continues to be the case. God just said that his people have diminished and deprived themselves by not appreciating what is required to reap the benefits of the harvest. Katsir. Three of them. Do you know what they are? What are the three harvests, and how has Israel foregone them? How many rabbis have you heard who have said that if we open, or if we capitalize on the open door that Dode provided for us by fulfilling Pesach, and capitalize on him removing religious and political guilt from us and depositing it in Sheol on matzah, that we can benefit from Bukkotim, which is firstborn children, which is symbolized by a barley harvest that occurs early in the year when barley is still green, growing, and receptive. I'm waiting. Why don't you do a little research? Why don't you check out the Babylonian Talmud if you can find that? That's the first of the Katsir. How many rabbis have told you that the second harvest, the middle candle, if you will, in that menorah? I've got a beautiful menorah here, stylized menorah over my left shoulder, right side of your screen. How many have told you that after the first three Mizmor, reading from right to left, represent Pesach, Matzah, and Bukkotim, that one in the middle is Shavua? And that the harvest promised on Shavua is a harvest of varieties of wheat. Not one type, multiple types. And that it is a harvest of standing grain, mature grain, where the children of the covenant at that point will have a backbone. They will have grown in their knowledge of Yah. They will have made a contribution to the bread of life into nurturing God's family. It is symbolic of two loaves of bread, just as there are multiple types of wheat. Goyim, Yehudim, both together, uplifted into God's family. It is the harvest, katsir, where everyone is invited, although few capitalize, men and women, rich and poor, young and old, Yehudim and Goyim, of every status in life. That is the second of the three harvests. But there is a third, and it is a mikre that in Judaism has been so corrupted, you now call it by a Babylonian name, Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. Well, it's the head of the Babylonian New Year. The head of Yahweh's year is the first of Abib in the spring, not in the fall. You are so fixated on writing Yahweh and his plan for your redemption out of your lives that you renamed the final and third of these harvests. It's a lakat. It's a gleaning. And on this case, it's of olives, which means that it is of Israelites and Yehudim. And it will occur on Teruah, because Teruah is the final of these three harvests. This particular harvest will occur at the end of the time of Jacob's troubles on the 23rd of September in 2033, year 6,000 Yah. In fact, I even say 6,000 Yah as 2033, and Jews go, oh, no, it can't be. You know, Maimonides told us that it's a different year, and we got a long time before 6,000 Yah. You know how we came up with this game? Do you ever bother to figure out how these numbskulls fooled you? Well, read it. It's presented in his chapter called The Sanctification of the Moon, because, well, he was under Islamic influence. And it's based on the repetition of the number 19, which is the favorite number of Muslims in the Quran. And it has nothing to do with the genealogies of the timeline of the Torah. I'm telling you, the 2033 is your 6,000 Yah, just as 33 when Dod fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Makotev. And he told you as Gabor El that he was going to do it and pointed exactly to the heart of the celebration of Matzah in your 4,000 Yah, 33 CE, in his meeting with Daniel in Babylon. But you don't know these things. And if you don't know these things, how are you going to capitalize on them? How are you going to be there to benefit from what Yahweh is providing? You have cut short and you have deprived yourself of what is required to reap the benefits of the harvest, Katsir. The days when his robust presence was concealed as a young man. Dod has already lived two lives. He told us all about his second of three lives and how it would culminate in him serving as the Pesach AL, being crucified by the Romans, beaten to a pulp, and then nailed to an upright pole. And then how he would fulfill Matzah with his soul going into the darkness of Sheol. And then how on Bakudim he would return to the light. He was brought back 3 to 4 years before his fulfillment of these Moed Mikre in 33 CE, year 4,000 Yah, just as Dod passed away in his first life 3 to 4 years before the cornerstone of Yahweh's home was laid in year 3,000 Yah, which is 968 BCE, just as Elia and I will appear in Jerusalem to serve for 3.5, 4 years as the witnesses to Yahweh before Dod's return. And so Dod had only been on earth 3.5 years when he fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Bakudim, and yet not a single Jew recognized it. The only eyewitness account of what Dod endured as the Passover lamb was written by Dod himself in first person when he explains scientifically and medically how crucifixion kills. 500 years before the Romans, 500 years before the Assyrians invented crucifixion, 700 to 800 years before the Romans made it more torturous with their nails. He told you exactly what he was going to endure. The only eyewitness account of it, it's repeated again in Psalm 88. And then the very purpose of his fulfillment is explained again in Yeshaya 53. And who he was and is blazoned in the wonderful prophecy as the son who is given to us, the great Gabor. In Yeshaya 9. And so as a very young man, returning in year 4033 CE, is when Dod fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim, and not a single Jew recognized it, even though he did it on Mount Moriah, exactly where he said he would fulfill it, exactly the day that he told you he would come back to do so, exactly the way that he had explained in his eyewitness account 1,000 years earlier that it would occur. And not a single Jew recognized what he had done, opening the door for Christianity to confiscate and to counterfeit. Dod, you covered over him, shamefully diminishing his status. Dod has no status in rabbinic Judaism. He is not the Messiah. He is not the Son of God. He is not the Passover AL. He is not the chosen one. He's not the paradigm for what it means to be part of the covenant or to be God's son. Take a moment to consider this, is what we are told. Well, there is a consequence to being wrong, especially when what one believes is in conflict with what Yahweh has made known to us. Those who do so cheat themselves when they deprive Dod of what rightfully belongs to him, because it shortchanges what he can offer. In this case, religious Jews are being accused of depriving themselves of what Dod has provided such that they are not harvestable. And that's the way it's going to be. They have vigorously obscured what he achieved through the fulfillment of Pesach and Matzah. They do not even acknowledge Dod's robust presence in Jerusalem in the Yobel year of 4033 CE, even though he provided them with the exact date that he would enter the city as their Messiah to fulfill Passover and Matzah and Daniel 9, all available to them 600 years before the fulfillment. Instead of admiring, respecting, and appreciating the Son of God and the sacrificial lamb, they have veiled him in shame. They have disgracefully covered over what he has achieved, thereby dishonoring his achievements and accolades. So at this point, the psalmist, inspired by Yahweh, the one who wrote God's script for this song, asked a rhetorical question for us to ponder. While the interval of timing being questioned was of God's choosing, being unknown for that long is counter to everything God intended. He has done his part, making it relatively easy for those who are serious in their pursuit to become acquainted with him. He has systematically provided and simultaneously validated the authenticity of his revelation to us. Within it, we are given everything we need to know to engage in a relationship with Yahweh, to be invited into his home as part of his family. The reason that so few have availed themselves of this marvelous opportunity, the ultimate gift ever offered, eternal life, perfection, adoption into God's family, inheriting all that he has to give, being empowered and enriched beyond three dimensions, to the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh dimension. the reason that so few have taken advantage of this is that religion and government, militarism and conspiratorialism have gotten in the way, obscuring the view and cluttering the path. So God asks of his, of Almighty, well, exactly the one scribing this psalm, wrote on behalf of Almighty God. For how long, Yahweh? For how long, Yahweh, will you remain hidden, concealed, and virtually unknown? Your righteous indignation, your overt displeasure, and your furious antagonism is kindled and burns imminently and prominently like a fire. Israel, you have done this to your God. You've done it by failing to acknowledge what he achieved through his beloved son. It is one thing for Doe to have recognized that the ultimate sacrifice he can make for his people is to serve as the Pesach Gael, the Passover lamb, and then allow his nephesh soul to be burdened with our guilt so that it can be carried into Sheol, never to be seen again, signing our adoption papers to be part of Yahweh's covenant family, perfected and enriched by him, telling all of the story of what he had volunteered to achieve before he actually fulfilled this promise, for us all to capitalize upon it, and that rather than benefit from it, this ultimate sacrifice, God's people spit in his face. They disparaged him. They denied that he had done it. Think of the indignation, the antagonism that that engendered with God and with his son. It pierces me to the soul to know the anguish, Israel, that you have caused and your disrespect for Yahweh and for his beloved son, our Messiah and King Dod. I want you to think about that for a while. Tomorrow we will return for the 14th episode of Dod's Song. But between now and then, ruminate on the aggravation and the pain you have caused the creator of the universe, who's offered you the greatest gift ever. I am Craig Wynn, and this has been the Yahweh Blog.